You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. Don Henley from 1982 and that track called Dirty Laundry. All that brings the time to 11 minutes past four, and it's time for us to welcome back Her Ladyship. Hello, Odette.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Very, feeling a bit windblown.
Well, you got the fan on you.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, you know. You're sort of at that age, you know what I mean?
Yes. Mm. So you obviously think I'm menopausal.
No, I just think you're at that age.
I think I'm feeling menopausal.
Are you feeling menopausal?
Yes.
See, I'm not allowed to say that.
You can say. I'm not upset if you tell me things like that.
Okay. All right.
I call you my dad.
Yes.
Because of do. What you look like. Well, you look like my dad.
Well, thank you for that. How are you?
I'm very well.
Happy New Year.
Same to you. Mm. Good health all round.
Yes, and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yes. So, we've got a whole lot of stuff coming our way in 2023, according to you.
Only good things.
Only good things.
We're going to will it our way.
Are we going to do that? Did you have a good break?
I didn't have a break. I put my shop into hibernation.
Hibernation?
Yeah, but you will know, being a business owner, that you never have a break. You're always monitoring things.
You're always on it, yeah.
I thought what was quite nice about the Christmas to New Year period was just less pressure.
Mm.
And it really is an indication that it's not work that I don't want, it's less pressure.
Mm. Yeah, I think if we can find those things that can take the pressure off a little bit, then that helps, and those tools. And I'm pretty sure that what you're going to speak about this afternoon in terms of the top 10 tech trends are going to contribute towards that in some way or another.
Mm, I thought it might be nice to start the year off with this topic. It's quite interesting, actually. I really enjoyed researching it. And I found this fabulous article on Forbes, which I'll be sharing from this afternoon. And it's basically what technologies are gaining the most traction, what are the most important trends that business leaders should be prepared for. And I don't think it's all about business leaders. I just think all of us need to be aware of these tech trends that are happening around the world. AI everywhere. Mm. In 2023, artificial intelligence will become real in organizations. No-code AI, with its easy drag-and-drop interfaces, will enable any business to leverage its power to create more intelligent products and services. We're already seeing this trend in the retail market. Contactless, autonomous shopping and delivery will also be a huge trend for 2023. AI will make it easier for consumers to pay for and receive goods and services. I don't know if you've heard, I think it's already here in SA, where they, you know, those paper labels on the shelves?
Yes.
Those are now like AI, and it can even predict when the goods are need to be marked down and stuff like that. Yeah, I can't remember which of the retailers is doing that. Pretty much, I think it's here in SA. I'll have to look that up, but it's interesting.
Yeah, because that little label there's
paper.
A lot in it.
And yeah.
I actually saw the other day, just off the topic, that that actually can be powered by a paper battery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating.
Yeah, very fascinating, yeah.
Especially when they can put fresh produce on like spoil prices.
Yes, yeah, automatically.
Yes. Mm. Which helps with less wastage all around.
Yes.
AI will also augment nearly every job in every business process across industries. More retailers will use AI to manage and automate the complex inventory management processes that happen behind the scenes. That's what we just touched on now. Number two is parts of the metaverse will become real. The metaverse is shorthand for a more immersive internet where we'll be able to work, play, and socialize on a persistent platform. This is all a summary, of course, of all of the information that's available. Augmented reality, AR, and virtual reality, VR technology will continue to advance. One area to watch is the work environment in the metaverse. In 2023, there's predictions that we'll have more immersive meeting environments where we can talk, brainstorm, and co-create together.
Wow.
That's quite powerful. We'll also see more advanced avatar technology in the new year. An avatar, the presence, is the presence we project as we engage with other users in the metaverse. It could actually look exactly like we do in the real world. And motion capture will even enable our avatars to adopt our unique body language and gestures.
That's scary.
It's scary. Mm. And that's why we need to know about this. Mm. Number three is progress in Web3. Blockchain technology will also advance significantly in 2023 as companies create more decentralized products and services. I'm not sure of the pronunciation about NFTs. Is it non-fungible tokens or non-fungible? You know, NFTs? Mm. They will become more usable and practical. For example, NFT tickets to concerts will potentially give you access to backstage experiences and memorabilia. NFTs might be the keys we use to interact with many of the digital projects, products, and services we buy, or they could represent contracts we enter into with other parties. Number four, bridging the digital and the physical world. We're already seeing an emerging bridge between the digital and physical worlds, and this trend will continue. There are two components of this merger: digital twin technology and 3D printing, which we do hear a lot about already. Mm. That's quite cool. Number five, increasingly editable nature.
What?
Scary.
Editable nature.
We live in a world where we can make changes to material, plants, and even humans by editing them. Nanotechnology will enable us to create materials with completely new features, such as water resistance and self-healing capabilities. Gene editing works a bit like word processing, where you can edit some words out and others in. That's like a nice way of explaining it. But you can do it with genes. Gene editing can be used to correct DNA mutations, solve the problem of food allergies, increase the health of crops, or even edit human characteristics like eye and hair color. I'm not sure I'm happy with that.
I'm sure there are a lot of people that aren't. But yeah, what we are saying is that technology is available.
I actually saw this video on LinkedIn, which isn't real, but the fact that I saw it and was so perfect, and was about these science labs, and it had 30 little capsules where little infants were being manufactured. Yeah. And how that all kind of was connected to an app with the parents and everything. And you could check that the environment for the child was just 100% perfect. It was almost like cyborgs.
Wow. No, I think that, I think the world will stop that.
I hope I've crossed over the rainbow bridge by then.
Yeah, I think that the world will definitely stop that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Number six, quantum progress. Right now, there is a worldwide race to develop quantum computing at scale. Quantum computing, which uses subatomic particles to create new ways of processing and storing information, is a technological leap that's expected to bring us computers capable of operating a trillion times more quickly than the fastest traditional processors available today. Do we really need that, though? I mean, wow. How much faster do we need to work? Seriously?
I don't know. And look, well, computer speed is everything. But when you talk about the increase in blockchain technology, that's going to require computing power.
I wasn't going to read this paragraph, but I think it is actually quite cool. The potential danger of quantum computing is that it could render our current encryption practices useless, like what you just said now. So any nation that develops quantum computing at scale could break the encryption of other nations, businesses, security systems, and more. This is a trend to watch carefully as countries like the US, UK, China, and Russia pour money into developing quantum computing technology. So now we know why. Now we know why.
Yeah, absolutely.
Progress in green technology. Look for continued progress around green hydrogen, a new clean burning source of energy that produces close to zero greenhouse gas emissions. We'll also see progress in the development of decentralized power grids.
Yes.
I just wish it was so much cheaper, but that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah, I also wish it was so much faster.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Number 8, robots will become more human. Robots will become even more like humans in appearance and capability. These types of robots will be used in the real world as event greeters, bartenders, concierges, and companions for older adults. They'll also perform complex tasks in warehouses and factories as they work alongside humans in manufacturing and logistics. Terrifying. Sometimes it's a good thing that SA is in the dark. Pardon the pun there.
Well, more ways than one.
Absolutely.
Look, I think that when we go through, I don't know how far you are through your list there, but when you go through the list, I think a lot of these technologies are available.
Yes, they are.
And the question, of course, is where does society allow those technologies to fit in? Because, you know, there's lots of technology that society is going to say, listen, this is a bridge too far. This is not where we want to take society. Whether or not that's a right approach to take, I don't know. But there are going to be a lot of ethical things here, ethical boundaries that are going to have to be dealt with alongside all of these tech trends. And that's going to be the interesting debate.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like those supersonic sophisticated societies that are just like so, so far ahead and advanced. I'm not saying that South Africa isn't sophisticated or dynamic, but I can't see us embracing it here.
No, for a number of reasons, because, you know, if you're going to start employing robots, you're going to impact on unions, and that type of thing is going to happen. So, you know, imagine if we had to run the power stations based on robots. I mean, we have a whole lot of people out of work. The unions are going to be
exactly
up in arms. So I think those are the sort of checks and balances that are already inbuilt into our society and every society around the world, because they're not all the same. But there are those that are not threatened by that. There are those that are going to say, let's embrace it, where the population is not as high and the skill set is such that they're confident enough. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that robot technology certainly is not new.
No.
But the humanoid, which is essentially what we're talking about.
Or the cyborg.
Those are
no,
things
thank
that,
you.
That are
weird.
Weird. But robot technology, not so much. I mean, I've got a friend, Mark, who the other day was just showing me on his phone how he's got a vacuum cleaner at home that vacuums his whole house.
Yes.
Based on the program he's given it, and does a damn fine job. So
it just like bounces around the whole day, doesn't it?
Well, it goes on a path. It follows a path. You've got to set it up in your home.
Like a creepy crawler in your pool, basically.
Exactly.
It's a creepy crawler in your house.
Yes, basically. But that can operate while you're not there. That can operate independent of you being in the home.
And he wants to hoover, let's face it.
Yeah. But that type of technology at some point is threatening a job of somebody who would come in and vacuum. So, you know, those are the things that's on a very small scale. But when we start talking about humanoids in factories, humanoids...
And hospitality.
Then you're going to have different responses from different countries and different cultures, and different scale size economies in dealing with that. I think.
No, for sure. I mean, I can get the whole mechanical arm in like a factory, just doing the same repetitive task over and over again. But I think I'd have a problem with a humanoid walking up to me saying, how do you like your gin and tonic?
Yeah.
That's like a bit weird. I'd like to see a teenager doing that like a student,
yes.
You know.
But even those mechanical arms, the only real justification for them versus a human is that those essentially, they weld things, they hold things.
Yes.
They're doing it precisely every time repetitively.
Yes, no human error.
No human error, and the human being cannot be that accurate all the time.
Yeah.
So
even operations, that's quite cool though. Robots definitely have their place, I think.
Yes.
During those very very precision based operations, you know, when if you just move the scalpel by a millimeter.
Yeah. But
you still have
a human behind that.
Yes, you do.
But I don't want to really arrive at a hotel.
No.
And some robot comes, and it won't come waddling up like we used to. It'll probably walk up to you like a human being and interact with you like a human being.
No, I know.
And I don't think we're that far away from it. I don't think we're that far away from that technology being pretty much perfected.
Concerning.
Very.
Not for a long time here in SA, though. But we still need to know about these things.
Yes, yes.
The last two, number 9 is progress in autonomous system. Business leaders will continue making progress in creating autonomous systems, particularly around delivery and logistics. Many factories and warehouses have already become partially or fully autonomous. We'll see even more self-driving trucks and ships, as well as delivery robots, and even more warehouses and factories will implement autonomous technology. Mm. So it really seems to be an area of our economy and industries that we need to kind of watch out for if we are within them in terms of upskilling and trying to get some other skills.
Yeah, that warehousing concept, I mean, it's already known, people like Amazon, Takealot, they've all got these robots running up and down. But where it's starting to, and that's fine. Because
there's drone delivery things as well.
Drone technology, I don't know if you can hear this. That is still, I mean, we still haven't scratched the surface of drone technology and what it can do. But I was speaking to somebody who works for pharmacy, a pharmaceutical chain, and having an interesting conversation about the dispensing of medicine. And he was saying to me, he said, you know something that, in Durbanville, okay, there is a facility, which is part of their group, that you can literally send your order in on an app, all right, for whatever pharmaceuticals you require, your prescription, all of that stuff. There, it is a warehouse where there's no human interaction. So essentially what you do is you go along, you send your stuff in ahead of time, and you go there with your cell phones, essentially, and it dispenses your medication for you, 100% packed, ready to go.
So has a human packed that at some stage of the process?
No, it's all been done by little robots that run up and down the shelves. There's no human being involved at all, outside of probably making sure that if the power goes off, that somebody kickstarts the little robots.
Yes, because I mean, I think there's a lot of theft involved with medication as well. I've just noticed with our local pharmacy, they used to put that little, everything went in a cage between the counter and the till. Mm. And they used one of those little plastic
cable ties.
Now it's a lock.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, this is quite bad.
Yeah.
If people are, when you think of the theft of medication and stuff.
Yeah. But that medication has been given to you. So it's not like you haven't got that you've got the wrong medication. That's just a question of you walking out of the shop without paying for it.
Maybe pharmacists could also be putting in extra or whatever. Well, you know what I mean?
That is possible. But yeah. But the lock and chain thing is not going to solve that problem. What this does is it accurately pulls your prescription, packages it for you.
Wow.
You go along there. It dispenses it out like a little chute out the side of the building, and you can take your medication.
So what happens to our pharmacists?
Well, this is the thing.
They've studied for 6 years.
This is why the conversation was happening, because there was a feeling that, the pharmacist is going to be, 20 years from now, pretty much a thing of the past outside of working in big pharma developing things. But the dispensing pharmacist, that is something that they are concerned about now. The staff that work for this organization are concerned about now. And they worry about it. But, it's a reality. And it's been a reality in things like Amazon and all that kind of stuff for years.
Yes.
Mm.
Wow. Mm. Something to think about if you're a young adult thinking of studying chemist, to become a pharmacist.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I think parents, we still have these old-fashioned sort of careers in our minds that we project onto our children. And I think it's our responsibility to be looking at some new possible careers and stuff for our kids to think about.
Yeah, there's a lot about that model that I wasn't too sure about, and then I'm sure that over time they'll perfect these things. But it's not inconceivable that the robot can make a mistake, or the person, for sure. or you make the mistake and you put the wrong stuff in on your, you know, what you want, and you get the wrong stuff. Now you've got a package with the wrong medication or the wrong deodorant, yep, or whatever. Who do you talk to once? I don't know if they've crossed that bridge yet, but that is the issue that I find with a lot of. I still prefer, and I'm old school, I far prefer to go in and touch and feel before I purchase.
Oh, me too.
Okay, so when it gets to these online platforms where you can purchase, I know they're all very efficient and you get your stuff, but if you get the wrong thing, which has happened to me,
then it does your head in.
It does your head in, because the process of actually, it's not that you're not going to get your money back or not going to get the goods replaced.
It takes so long.
It's not as efficient as the process of getting it to you, taking your money and getting it to you.
The reverse process is not so efficient.
So, you know, I wonder if that has been covered with this pharmaceutical model. But anyway, we digress. It's one of those things that's happening now.
Wow. Mm. The last one is, and I think this is a really good thing, more sustainable technology. Finally, we'll see a push toward more sustainable technology. Many, if not most of us, are addicted to technology. I'm certainly not. Like our smartphones, tablets, and computers. But where are the components coming from to manufacture our favorite gadgets? People will be thinking more about where rare earth components for things like computer chips originate and how we're consuming them. And it's true. I mean, I often think about the disposable nappies my children used as little babies, and I have guilt about it. Like, where are they now? So I don't think about, you know, laptops and stuff like that. Mm. Actually, I do sometimes. I'm like, this laptop really is dead and dying. Like, where does it go? To a laptop graveyard? And how many laptops are in that laptop graveyard? And like, what is happening with those things?
Mm. Yeah. The technology that we're using now and the technology that we use in the future technologies, I believe, are going to be far more eco-friendly disposable.
I hope
it
so.
It has to be. That is where the world has to go. Otherwise, we're going to just end up with, you know, mounds of broken computers in a big junk heap and with nowhere to go with them. And I don't know how recyclable these things are, but we have to get to a point, and this is why I shared a story the other day about a 3D printed battery, paper battery, and it is completely, once the battery is done, you can literally throw it on the scrap heap and it will biodegrade.
A paper battery?
Paper battery.
Well, I must go look into this.
Okay, driven by salt and water. And I find it incredible, but that technology is under development right now as we speak. So, you know, in time, it's not inconceivable that your cell phone could look very, very different in 20 years' time than it looks right now. Already, 20 years after cell phones came into being,
they look different. Remember, they used to be like those carry battery things.
Let's face it, yeah. And all of that is changing, but where the technology needs to go is to that point where what we use, once we've consumed, we are able to dispose of,
yes,
with the least possible impact. And that is where people, things like clothing, I mean, a t-shirt, you throw a t-shirt away. You know, you're done with a t-shirt, you can either give it to somebody, but it doesn't matter where it ends up, it's going to, where it goes after you've used it, at some point it's going to end up in a landfill. So are we going to have a t-shirt that ultimately is going to, you know, self-destruct over time, you know, that type of stuff, although I guess a t-shirt would because it's a fabric, but other things like your spectacle frames, things like that. I think that's where the world has got to go. Now, these nanotechnologies that you're talking about, those are the things that get us moving in that direction. Because you need that understanding of these things at a molecular level to make sure that this happens. So I find it very interesting. And so do I. You know, some of those things are threatening.
They're threatening, and some of them are also very close to our hearts.
Yes. Yes.
My son was actually, it's interesting, they get some interesting information that they come and tell you, and you're like, oh, rubbish, that's nonsense. And then I'll see a version of it on LinkedIn.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow, my boy was telling me about that like a month ago or whatever. But he was actually telling me about someone who has found a way to create fuel out of recycling plastic.
Mm.
And how he's kind of been shut down and silenced and everything. But can you imagine if we could use all of our junk plastic and put it into some sort of process for that to become fuel?
Yes. Junk plastic can also be turned into roads.
Homes.
Yes.
All bricks.
Sorts of things.
Yeah.
So I think that the graph, the learning curve for us is going to become even more steep. And the other thing that I do predict is this, that we've seen the use of technology used by younger and younger people. You know, a 6-year-old could probably tell you everything you need to know about the latest cell phone.
Yeah.
But there was a time when the cutoff period was sort of 60 or 70, 70.
Yes.
Odd. I'm seeing that a lot of 80.
Absolutely.
85-year-olds are embracing the
technology.
Yes,
they are.
They may be, you know, seconding the 6-year-old to get them, you know, through the learning process. But my father was 92. He got his first computer when he was 85 or something. And that is, you know, that is an...
Respect.
Yeah.
Promise you, because it will be hard for someone. But it's, I have huge respect. And I have read blogs and articles where it's basically saying, watch out for the older generation, as in like the proper seniors. Mm. You know, you think they're not online, but they are actually smashing it.
They are
all
there.
Day.
They are there.
All day.
And they've got the time for it.
They are on YouTube.
Yeah.
So what are you selling the older people on YouTube?
Yeah.
Get on there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I used to think that TikTok was for kids. It's not that
no,
anymore.
No, it's not.
It's not that anymore. And I've got a very good friend who's addicted to TikTok.
People went to TikTok, the middle-aged people went to TikTok during the pandemic, I believe, for the purposes of humor. Mm. So they just sit and just watch funny videos. And that's where TikTok really changed. It isn't just for 13-year-olds.
Mm. Yeah, it really is. So all of these technologies are things that... the next thing I'm looking for is when cars start to fly.
Yeah, exactly. Without anyone at the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Less accidents and all that.
Yeah, that would be very cool. But I don't know how far we're away from that. Although apparently not more than 20 years. So
it's all happening in our sci-fi movies. So who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, so those are the 10 things.
Yes. Thanks right. very much. I really actually enjoyed this topic. I think it's a nice way to start the year. Mm. Just keeping ourselves up to date with what's happening beyond the borders of SA and just being more worldly, you know?
We need to. We need to. We can't keep our heads under a rock. We
no.
need to, you know, we need to embrace these things. And
absolutely.
I think that nanotechnology is what is going to get us to that point, because that is incredible.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, you can make smart materials. You can, you know, you can make a dress that can change colors and
oh, wow.
all that kind of stuff, all with nanotechnology. All right, so you're going to be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
I look forward to that.
Yes.
Go forth and have a great year. Wedding
I
ring?
I will. Yes.
Okay, just checking. Just checking that. Okay.
That will never change.
I hope not. All right. Her name is Odette Butcher, and if you want to get hold of her to speak to her about your business, you can and the technologies that you can employ in your business, you speak to her on WhatsApp 084-811-9163. That's how you get hold of her, 084-811-9163, and consult with her, and you will be surprised at what she can the impact she can have on your business. Go well, be good.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
See you soon.
I hope so.
Take care.
Bye.